To you by Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move, and also by First Baptist Church and by Tall Grass Motors. We'll talk politics. Yes, it's not election time yet, but it always is in front of us when you're talking about House seats. And we'll talk with candidate Andy Coleman coming up in just a moment.
Complete orthopedic care with a collaborative approach. Tulsa Bone and Joint and Jane Phillips Medical Center have teamed up to deliver a proactive approach for the prevention, care, and treatment of all bone and joint injuries. Depend on our compassionate surgeons and medical staff for all your family's orthopedic needs. Call today for your appointment, 918-214-8232. Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, and again, talking this morning with announced candidate for the 1st District Congressional seat, Andy Coleman. Again, for the listeners, Congressman Bridenstine has self-term limited. That was one of his promises about 6 years or so ago, that he would serve 6 years and step aside. Basically, I think he would say it, but these are my words, hearkening back to what Thomas Jefferson called the citizen legislator. Good morning, Andy.
Hey, good morning, Charlie. Thanks for having me.
Always happy to talk to you, and I think I say this all the time, but informed voters in generally make good choices, so
yes.
My job, get the information out to the voters early and often. And you and I spoke, I don't know what it's been, about 6 weeks or so ago, as at least on the air you announced your candidacy. I know you've done that with family and friends. And,
yes.
And just reviewing some of the things you and I talked about, you would be coming into politics. I think I asked you this before we went on the air. This really would become your fourth career after some military service, and most recently spending some time mostly behind closed doors, not talking about what you do at Voice of the Martyrs.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I suppose this would be the fourth hat I've donned. Graduated from the Air Force Academy and went on to serve in the military, deployed with the Air Force and the Army. After that, went to law school and briefly practiced law at a fairly sizable law firm, but quickly felt called into full-time Christian ministry, and I've been serving with Voice of the Martyrs here in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, for a number of years. And that work has required me to go to the Middle East, serve the persecuted church there, which I have loved. But yes, it did require me to keep a very low profile. So I ran away from every camera that was around. I kept my name off every bit of the website I could. So yes, as I step out into this new venture, it is in a way a fourth hat.
And I would just kind of, as you just painted that picture for me, staying away from cameras and therefore microphones, I would assume every time I open up a microphone or anybody else you happen to talk to, print or electronic media, the initial response based on what you've worked at for a number of years is no, run away.
Well, that's my default setting. But as head spinning as it is, you know, I am coming out, and like you said, it is important to just kind of share who I am, what I'm about, and allow people to be as informed as possible.
Well, we'll build that picture for a long time.
Yes.
Over the next year to year and a half, as we get set for November 2018 elections. Congress, it's a two-year term in the House, and depending on how things go individually, you get about 6 to maybe 9 months before you have to start rebuilding your case for the voters. So it's all about short-term, getting things done quickly.
Yeah, it is, and it's also about being as responsive to the families that elect you as possible. I think that's the idea of the citizen legislator, that they truly represent those communities from which they come, and they have to answer, and they have to be a part of that community and represent them faithfully and well.
Yeah. With your trips to the Middle East, that gives you somewhat of a unique perspective, particularly compared to nearly any other first-term congressman, because you've been there, you've seen what is on the ground, and you can extrapolate, I think, a lot of what would be foreign policy.
Well, that's true, and I love to talk about foreign policy, but what you bring up is it triggers something else in me, and that is, you know, as I've stepped out into this campaign, it's no surprise, but it's challenging. There's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of calls for my time. I'm, you know, stretched in certain ways. There's tension in on different issues. But I can say this, after traveling to the Middle East, I am grateful that we have to go through some challenging trials if you want to assume a leadership position here. I'm grateful that we were so responsive to people that we have to put out candidates for these positions. And it's not always comfortable. It's not always fun. But I've been in countries where they don't have to do that, and they really don't care what the people think or say. So in some ways, it's not the most pleasant aspect of, you know, government, but I am grateful to have a government that is so responsive to the people.
And as your training as a lawyer would give you, again, a little bit different perspective. I know we have quite a few attorneys in Congress, but many of them have served as an elected official for quite a while, and, mm-hmm. and kind of, again, getting away from the daily practice of law. But mm-hmm. I think it gives you a little bit different perspective from, you know, again, if we write this law this way,
right.
what are the eventual outcomes of what you're writing today?
Right. There's that. There's also an appreciation for the procedural challenges in passing anything. So how to present the best case for your position, how to be winsome, how to articulate positions that you think are going to best represent the families of a congressional district as well as the United States.
Yeah, well, again, some special terminology to present the best case. Yes, we, you know, the legal system in a courtroom is adversarial by nature, and mm-hmm. Congress sometimes not unlike that
sure.
setting, because you have someone who will come to hopefully the same general goal, what's best for the country, but approach it from a much different perspective.
That's right. And my goal would be to be a part of those coalitions, those teams, to try to marshal through thoughtful and reasonable legislation. Of course, knowing that we don't all agree, I'm probably not going to agree 100% on any bill that I would ever see. And that's the lay of the land, but to just do the very best you can to assemble the very best policy you can.
With your training at the Air Force Academy, certain things are emphasized just due to preparing future Air Force officers than, say, taking the same coursework at XYZ University, mm-hmm. OU, Harvard, wherever it might be, mm-hmm. because you're still reaching that same bachelor's degree. You need the same overall mm-hmm. basic training, but sometimes preparing for a different role.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, in that kind of a setting, leadership is emphasized. So you get lots of opportunities to serve as a leader in different capacities. And that's what I did as a sophomore, the equivalent of a sophomore. I served as the chief clerk, mm-hmm. the top sophomore in my squadron. My junior year, I served as the cadet squadron first sergeant, so that the top junior, if you will, in the mm-hmm. squadron. Mm-hmm. And I was a cadet squadron commander my senior year. So you do have these stepping stones, these opportunities to lead and make mistakes and learn from those mistakes and refine your leadership. But here's an interesting thing. We don't talk about this a lot, but there's also followership. I had to learn how to be a follower and how to do that well. But it also gave me a great window into different leadership styles. And I could glean a lot of elements from those that I liked. And I could also learn from those that I did not care for as much.
Well, and it goes back to something that may not quite be day one of basic training, but anybody who's been there somewhere early in that, you are taught, you know, an order is an order and it is to be obeyed.
That's right. And you know what? There's leaders that are going to point at their rank, and that's it. And they're going to say, do this and do that. And you will honor the rank. You'll go do what you have to do. But in my experience, the very best leaders are those that generally never have to do that, mm-hmm. but instead they roll up their sleeves when there's something unpleasant that has to be done, and they wade into the mix with you. They get into it, and you'll follow those types of people almost anywhere.
Leadership by participation, leadership by example, as opposed to leadership through authority.
And servant leadership. I love the concept of servant leadership.
We are talking with candidate for the 1st District House seat, Andy Coleman, and we will continue with the Community Connection coming up in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
Talking with Andy Coleman, candidate for the 1st District Congressional seat. And, I am not going to get into specifics with you, Andy, because right now, number one, you haven't read the bill. It wouldn't be fair. But Congress is working on a repeal and replace of the current health care bill. Mm-hmm. That's got to be a tough negotiation for anybody. And I think what I hear you saying is you would go to it from that training that you've already received. Consider the options, consider what is already being presented, accept what you like, and try to build on the rest of it to get a better.
Yeah, like I said, there's not going to be a perfect bill, but I do think that we have to take a step and present the best option possible that we can get enough consensus on. It's got to be a very difficult job trying to corral all of the votes. It's got to be very difficult to marshal all of these people who have conflicting opinions on things. And it's such an important topic because it does reach out and touch almost all of us. This is a big deal. So we're trying to get it. We need to get it right, as close to right as possible. But it is tough.
Congressman Bridenstine has spoken to constituents sometimes on defending his no votes on issues. And I'm going to get his words, not mine, where he has taken something that was, by and large, a pretty good idea, but he didn't feel it was the best solution. Mm-hmm. And in his words, he voted no in order to get to a better yes.
Yes.
Is that sometimes a good idea?
I do think it's a good idea at times. It's not, I don't think you have to be reflexively no. I don't think it's healthy to be always an obstructionist, but there is a time and a place to say no. And, you know, I haven't read the current bill. I don't know where it is right now. I have to imagine negotiations are furious right now. Today with all that's going on.
I know the president has called the Freedom Caucus in several times over the past week or so, and also I'm sure the speaker has tried to exert every political idea that he can to bring along someone who, again, is looking for what they see as a better bill.
Yeah, and I'm hopeful that a final bill can be achieved. That's healthy, but I do have concerns about past versions that I've seen. It seems to leave a lot of the mandates and regulations in place that I believe led to higher premiums and deductibles. A lot of them are still there. I'm concerned that that's going to continue to keep healthcare costs high and unaffordable for a lot of Oklahomans. So that's, we'll just see how the negotiations continue, and I just pray that we can arrive at a healthy spot.
Oklahoma's relationship with the Department of Defense is a big issue with and I'll probably leave something out, Enid Air Force Base, Tinker Air Force Base, Altus Air Force Base, Fort Sill, McAllister Depot, and other installations, Fort Gruber, Camp Gruber, rather, with the Army National Guard training facility. There's a lot of DOD facilities here in the state.
Yeah.
The relationship with the state, with your constituents, and the military, the DOD?
Well, as a veteran myself, I'm profoundly grateful for our military community and that we have installations throughout the state and here in the 1st District down in Tulsa. I think that's good for our communities, and you're not going to find a more supportive climate for our troops, I think, than Oklahoma. So I'm encouraged by the Trump administration's intent to bolster the Department of Defense because I think we need it. I think we've really atrophied. Our military has atrophied over the last 8 years, and it is in need of an infusion of equipment and support to be able to do all that we expect our military to do. And there's a lot of challenges around the world that we expect our military to be able to engage in.
Yeah, and again, my words, not the former president's, but if you look at budgets that have been cut, manpower numbers certainly are lower now than what they were 8 or 12 or 15 years ago. We have, you know, B-52s that are still World War II vintage aircraft that are flying and doing the mission for us very well.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at any of the service branches, whether it's equipment or manpower, things are down across the board, and yet the challenges that we're facing remain high. So I do think that there needs to be a corrective in there. It's an interesting season.
And yet it's just the dichotomy, particularly since money bills originate in the House, House members, I think, and I'm asking for your opinion, have to always be somewhere in the back of their mind saying, how does this affect the budget? How does this affect our balance of payments or our deficit spending?
Yeah, and that's right. And as a fiscal conservative, where we stand with our debts is a massive problem. It is a little encouraging that some of those numbers have trickled down over recent weeks. I did not expect that so soon, but I'm grateful to see that. But yeah, when we're talking about improving the posture of our military, it's dollars and cents, and those dollars and cents are either going to add to that debt or they're going to be taken out of other areas of the budget. And it does look like the Trump administration are looking at those other areas. There have been proposed cuts to our foreign aid, to the State Department, and I think that there's probably merit in some of those proposals.
And you look at, I hate to keep coming back to DOD, but since it's a common ground for the two of us, military paychecks over the last 8 years rarely have been more than about a 1% pay increase for people who are already, if they were doing the same job in the civilian sector, would be paid a lot more.
Yeah, that's true. And it is a service-related job. It's like nonprofits. You know, if you go to work in a nonprofit, the odds are you're going to make a lot less than you could in the private sector. But at the same time, these are our families that need to be taken care of, that need to be treated responsibly. And I do think that those types of pay issues really do need to be addressed and increased.
You mentioned the word family, and I know one of the first time you and I talked, we talked about your candidacy, that it was a family decision.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, you're out here talking to the public, and it's I think we would agree it's too early yet for the family to be heavily involved, but there are plans to have the family out later when you're talking to the public?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Well, my wife, Liz, has already joined me at a number of gatherings, so people have been blessed by that, I think. They're more blessed to see her and hang around her than to hang around with me. But we have got our three kiddos. Their ages are 13, 7, and 6. Some have even got to encounter them. But no, I think Liz is, enthusiastic about what we're doing, and she's going to join me whenever possible. So,
as a father with family members at those ages, and we only have to look a little bit to the east with Mark Wayne Mullen talking about family and his adopted family, but still splitting your time between Oklahoma and family, and whether the youngsters are going to school here or in the District of Columbia right now, it's not necessarily what I'm asking for, but just splitting that time back and forth, it's a challenge for anybody.
It's a challenge, but you know what? We've had to struggle finding balance our entire lives, Liz and I. Whether I was in the military and deploying or in law school, which can be very time consuming, but I treated that as a job. I did all of my studies early in the morning throughout the day, and come 5 o'clock, unless there was a final or something, I was home. I put on my dad hat. I put on my husband hat. The same has been true with this nonprofit work that I've been doing in the Middle East. When I come home, I have to build in time for the family. And the same would be true in this case. And I know you're not going here, but I'll go ahead and say it. We would not be moving to D.C. We'll stay right here. Again, that idea of the citizen legislator as a part of the community, that's what I'm about. That's what Liz is about. And we're going to be right here. But it's a great point. It's a prayer request for anybody out there that's prayerful, just that I would achieve balance both in this campaign season and if successful as a congressman.
Well, and just in about the minute or so that we have left, campaigns are not cheap.
No.
And I'm sure you're already building a financial base. So there are contributors, no doubt, who have already said, I'd like to help.
Yes. And I'm grateful for those sacrificial commitments. It means a lot to me, even in what people perceive to be as a too early a campaign season. But I'm grateful for that support because it has allowed me to get out early, to make more introductions coming out of the quiet background that I do come from. And if anybody out there would be interested in supporting us or learning more about what we're doing, you could visit our website at andycoleman.org. And there's a lot of information on there, and there's a way to donate as well.
Okay, well, again, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us.
Oh, Charlie, it's my pleasure.
Opportunity for the listeners to get a feeling for who this individual is so that when you coming knocking on their door or send them something in the mail, you say, hey, I think I know you already.
That's right. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Candidate for the 1st District Congressional seat, Andy Coleman, with us this morning on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1 News. On the way next from the UNN.
ONN News, I'm Jacqueline Scott. The state Senate approves a proposal to study how schools